Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 43 through 45. And then we're going to just have the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, before we read these scriptures together, I just want to say this. This message is going to reveal what's happening to our culture today. Amen. Amen. We've seen the chaos. We have seen the darkness overtake this country. And we say, yeah, well, it's the devil. Yeah, we know it's Satan. But could it be that the ancient gods have come back? God names them. He names three vicious, unruly entities from the ancient days of old. And we're going to see this, and we're going to see, could they have returned to this nation? Well, as it unfolds, this message unfolds, I'm praying that you will see it. This is the time to put some spiritual lenses on. You got to be in the spirit to see this, because the culture of this day has been duped. We've been deceived. Even the churches, some that are not awake, have been deceived. But we're going to see through the Word of God some illumination, and that God will reveal to us his people. Did you know that God will not withhold anything that's found in the Word of God from us? He will let his prophets, he will let his people know what's taking place for such a time as this. Amen? So, are you there at Matthew? All right, let's go. Here we go. And it reads, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Amen? Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than him. Himself. Look at that. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Here's the key to the rest of this verse. I need you to see this. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. So, as we can see, it's not speaking of one particular man. He's speaking about a generation that would come in the last days. And we're seeing it. So, right up here, let's look at this. Israel's promise from God of obedience. Okay, so we have to look back to look ahead. We have to see what was conveyed on Mount Sinai through Moses. Moses was their deliverer. They were bound up for 430 years in Egypt, and God sent a deliverer. But while he was on Mount Sinai, the word of the Lord came. And now he expected them to walk, to speak, to maneuver in the things that the Lord has set before them according to the will of God and according to the law of God. So let's look at this. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 10. And this is the word of the Lord that God had given Moses to the nation of Israel. We're going to look at Israel first, and then we're going to look at this country today. Can I get amen? So let's look at this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey, key, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 3, look at this. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you, look at this, be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. How many want that kind of life? Amen. Amen. Don't you want the favor of God? Yes. I want the favor of God. Amen. Okay, so we're seeing here a message conveyed to them that I truly believe still pertains to us today. Amen. Let's go to verse 7. Look at this. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. What? Look at that. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is what? Giving you. Hallelujah. And God did bless them. He blessed them mightily. Look at verse 9 here. 9 and 10. Then the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. And if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, key, walk in his ways. Look at this. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. My question today, is the culture afraid of us? Okay. So we see the blessings. Now, we're going to take a glimpse of their demise because they fell short. They started to learn to disobey. And God is going to mention here in the few scriptures I'm going to read, he's going to point out three diabolical, and he calls them by name. These are spiritual wickedness in high places. These are principalities behind these little gods. And I'm asking this question, has those gods returned? Have they returned? Okay. So now let's go to Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 20. Look at this. This is Israel's promise from God of disobedience. So God promises this, I will bless you if you obey me, but I will take away your blessings if you disobey me. It goes both ways. Can I get amen? It's no different than disciplining your child. If they're going to do what you're asked, you will bless them. But then chastisement will have to come if they disobey. Can I get every? Okay. So we get that concept. Let's look at this. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curses. Wow. You mean God will actually send curses according to the word of God? Yes. Look at this. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Wow, we just read that if you obey, the blessings will overtake you. But God is saying now, for disobedience, I will withdraw and remove these blessings. Wow. Look at verse 20. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, which you have forsaken me. This is so key, because we're going to look at it just in a few minutes, the withdrawal of this nation that was founded on the word of God. Now, let's further on look what he also does. Notice if you read the whole entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28, he has about maybe two or three good paragraphs of obedience, but he has a long list of disobedient curses that he sends upon. Why? Because he's serious that we would follow them. Amen? Okay, so let's look at Deuteronomy 28:47. Look at this. Because you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies when the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Mercy. This is God? Yes. Look at verse 49. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar. What? From the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. Remember 9/11, the planes that had eagle's wings on them crashed into our buildings. And look at this, whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. This is now God sending enemies to Israel and destroying them. Look at this in verse 51. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain of new wine or oil, or the increase of your cattle, or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. So we see as we look back that there were ordinances, there were precepts, there was commandments. God was just looking for obedience. After being in bondage for 430 years under a slave taskmaster's whip, which was a type of Satan, Pharaoh was a type of Satan, God set him free. And he warned them not to go, I'm giving you King James vernacular, whoring after other gods. So we're going to look at this now, because there were three principalities that God names in the Word of God. He names them because there are many gods during the time, little g gods, little g now, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Pezerites, the Termites, all the ites. But there were three that are mentioned. My question is, have they returned? Have they returned? So let's look at this right up here. The unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity. And who are they? Let's look at these names right up here on the screen. They were named Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech. Did you catch that? They were called Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech. And so let's break down these three, and then we're going to dive into what has taken place in our own nation. Can I get an amen? So who was Baal? Baal was the possessor. He was the possessor. He was the one that came and drove out God in their nation. He had to get their mindset changed so that these other two would come in with greater influence and to change ultimately the course of Israel, and it fulfilled their demise for being disobedient. And so this is an ancient picture of Baal from Mesopotamia. And notice he has a little child in his hand. So, God mentions these three characters in Scripture so that we would know for such a time as this who these principalities are. Because Paul talked about we war not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. But there's a name to them. And so let's go to Judges right here. Judges 2, 11 through 23. Look at this. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they served the Baals. There you go. They served them. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods. Notice little g. From among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. That's where you do never want to be. In a place where we would provoke the Lord to anger. Can I get amen? Look at this. Verse 13. They forsook the Lord and served Baal. And here's the second one. Ashtoreth. He names her. This was a goddess. And the ancient inscriptions that I don't have time to go over. We would be here for 3 days going over the inscriptions that came from Mesopotamia regarding Ashtoreth. But she was a transformer. She was a female goddess with masculinity in her. And according to the inscriptions, she would have high priests that would be basically transgenders. And they would come and they would worship her. And God said that these things were an abomination. Let's read on to this. And they forsook the Lord Baal and Ashtoreth. Look at this. And they served him. And the anger of the Lord was hot. Never get God hot against you. Can I get amen? They were hot. My goodness. Against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around. And so they could no longer stand before their enemies. Why? Because he took the blessings from them. Look at this, verse 15. And wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. Not blessings, but basically collapsing what God had built for them. And as the Lord had said, look at this, as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. One particular one who had the favor of God was Josiah. That king. That king, he tore down the altars of Baal throughout the land. But after he left, then rose up another evil king. Can I get amen? They never learned their lesson. Look at verse 17. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods, little g, and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked and obeying the commandments of the Lord, that they did not do so. Look at this in verse 18. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of their hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Listen, God is a God of mercy. Can I get amen? Amen. He's a God of grace. And when people truly repent, God will then come and hear your cry. That's when deliverance can come. That's when salvation will come. But in this case, they turn back again. They turn back again. So we're in verse 18. Look at this. The Lord moved to pity by their groaning because those who oppressed them and harassed them, they basically were almost totally into captivity. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. They got worse. Look at that. They got worse. and by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Wow. You're talking about stiff-necked. That's what they were. Look at this in verse 20. Then the anger of the Lord was hot again. Oh, now again, here we go. Hot against Israel. And he said, because the nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the other nations which Joshua left when he died. Wow. God said, I'm taking my hands off this now. I'm going to leave this alone. You're going to collapse all by yourself now. Look at verse 22. So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them. And therefore, the Lord left nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. So here was the plan of the enemy from the get-go. Baal had to come into play. Baal's role was to drive out God from their minds, from their children, from their forefathers, from everything that was about God. He had to come in first and drive them out so that Ashtaroth could come in and transform them into more ungodliness. So we're looking at Baal, the destroyer. Now, let's look at the enchantress, Ashtoreth. Let's look at her. This is an old Mesopotamia photo of her. This is from the archives of Mesopotamia. And so, look at this, saints. This goddess had many names throughout the world. They were Ishtar, Aphrodite, Venus, and the Bible called her Ashtoreth. She was wicked, very wicked. But see, the plan was first remove God out of the culture so that she could come in now and set up all the abominations that Satan's all about. And so, that's her again. And they dug up an old ruin. This is one of the temples of Ashtoreth. And where was it located? This area is now modern Iraq, Kuwait, Turkey, and Syria, all in that region. And so those little gods corrupted Israel and ushered in the most diabolical little god of them all. Remember, there was three. Baal had to do his business. He had to drive out God. Then Ashtoreth came in and perverted them with sexual immorality, transgenderism, homosexuality, all these things that God calls an abomination. She came in, and then the last, most diabolical one came. And he was Molech, the destroyer. That's him. Molech, the destroyer. This is the plan of the enemy. And the church is sleeping right now. Because we're going to see what has taken place to our nation. My question is, have these come back to this nation? We're going to see how they were driven out. And we're going to see how they're manifesting again. My goodness. So let's look at this for a moment. Because this was the ultimate abomination that collapsed Israel. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. This one act of worship unto a false god. Let's look at Jeremiah right here. Jeremiah 32. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Look at this. In verse 29, and the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to the city and burn it with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to who? To Baal. and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me. Look at this. Because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. Notice from their youth. I need you to catch that. It started from their youth. Why? Because Baal had driven out God. So the youth were growing up without any inclination who God was, the true and living God. And look at this. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. Look at verse 31. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day, so I will remove it from before my face. Look at this. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princesses, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Look at this. And they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction, but they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal. We're going to see Baal is the entrance for these gods to pass through. I need you to catch what you're about to see in a few minutes. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. He was the fierce and most diabolical one. Why? Because what happened is God was driven out. Ashtoreth came in, perverted them. And then these little gods, this entity, turned on the people that they deceived to follow them. And he turned on them. They turned on them and destroyed them. Are you catching this? They dupe you. They deceive you. They show you great pleasure. And then ultimately they turn on you to kill you. That's what these three do. And so, look at this. They will pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. This was the first time mentioned in the Word of God of the ancient planned parenthood. It was shown right there first. God revealed it. And saints, the apostle John saw these entities. God gave them a glimpse of what happened and why they are here now. Look at this in Revelation 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So you got to remember, Satan was up there worshiping God, and then pride entered in, and he lifted himself above God. And God cast them out of heaven. Praise God. So look at this. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth. And look at this. And his angels were cast out with him. So since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve, these entities have been there. My goodness. And their whole agenda is to destroy the things of God, to pervert the things of God, to annihilate the human race. Because their mind and their entity, their diabolical mindset is against the living God. My goodness. So when Jesus came into the world. When Jesus came, 3.5 years of ministry, then he died, was buried, and he rose again. The gospel started driving those entities out. Because these entities were everywhere. Every nation, every country that Paul would go, there was a goddess. There was a God. Not the one and true God. And so when the gospel came, the power of the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah. It was the power of God that was driving them out. And where did they go? They went back into the shadows. Because these are spirit beings that only God can destroy eternally. These are eternal beings. And so they went into the shadows because the gospel came with power and drove them out. And so since the gospel for 2,000 years, the gospel came in and was driving out these gods, little g's, that set out to destroy mankind. And so the gospel spread, and God was sweeping out the house of those gods that were occupying. Remember what the scriptures we read. We read that when a vessel is clean, and if they turn back to the things that God delivered them from, he said seven wicked more will come. Right. But he was talking about a generation, not an individual. He was showing us a picture of what takes place, not just to one man, but to a nation. And so he talked about that the end time nation would see this. Hallelujah. So that takes us to America. That takes us here. We had to look back to look ahead. And when America was discovered by the Puritans, they came with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when they came to Plymouth, they came with the word of God. They may not know all the, I'm going to say, the scriptures like we know today, but they came in the name of Jesus. They came and they brought it. Can I get amen? Look at this. When they landed, they came and brought the gospel. The only other people that were here were the Native Americans, and they were worshiping totem poles. They had other gods, but they brought the gospel, and the gospel drove out the other gods. My goodness. And then a nation was forming. Our forefathers, who were men of God, they came together. They came to establish this nation, and they lifted up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Constitution, if you read the Bill of Rights, a lot of scriptures in there, they mention of God. And when America became a young nation, our very first president, George Washington, he knelt before God. And during his inauguration, he quoted this. Since we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained, meaning God's word, the Bible. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally, staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. So basically, he said that God is going to bless our nation, but if we turn, the smiles of heaven will be withdrawn. And so, saints of God, For 233 years, our nation was decent, moral, and God-fearing nation because we were a Christian nation and Jesus was high and lifted up. And so, something took place. What went wrong? So we had to look back to look now in the generation that we live in. So look at this. Remember this? This is before 1962. There was prayer and Bible reading in our secular schools. Oh, come on. They taught the Word of God. And so there was no room for this diabolical gods to enter in. Why? Because there was a fortress of the Word of God across the nation. Yes, we're a secular nation, but God was in the minds of the children. God was in the mind of the nation. The things that we see on television today would have been abominations back then. No one's ashamed no more. No one even blushes no more. Look at this. They prayed. They prayed before class started. My goodness. And they taught the Word of God. Now, what happened? One person, an atheist, rose up and led a crusade to allow Baal to come back in. Why? Because in order for those three entities that we talked about, God had to be driven out first in the minds of the youth. Because when they grew, they will grow without the knowledge of God. They won't have God as principles. They won't have the commandments of God in their heart. And so something had to take place. And this woman, Madeline Mary Murray O'Hare, she came with a revolution. And the Supreme Court bowed down to Baal. Bowed down to Baal. She spearheaded the movement to get God out of this nation. Oh, yes. See, before I put this together, I had to bring facts. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I had to bring facts. And so the unthinkable took place in 1962. A one woman's crusade to remove prayer and Bible studies from the public schools, and then she strong-armed the Supreme Court. In 1962. I remember when I was like maybe four or five, there was only, I think, four channels on TV. Channel 10, Channel 6, Channel 8, yeah. And maybe 39 if you had a UHF antenna. Yeah. And you would have to move it around a little bit. Yeah. And put foil on the rabbit ears. Oh, you remember that? There wasn't 500 channels. And I remember before the station ended, there would be someone praying. America the Beautiful would be sung. God would be mentioned. And then they would close the station by saying, God bless you. So this is what happened. Look at this. On June 25th, 1962, the United States Supreme Court decided in Engel versus Vitale that a prayer approved by the New York Board of Regents for the use in schools violated the First Amendment by constituting an establishment of religion. This was her argument, and she won. Look at this. The following year, an Abington School District versus Shemp, the court disallowed Bible readings in public schools for similar reasons. These two landmark Supreme Court decisions centered on the place of religion in public education, particularly the place of Protestantism, which had long been accepted as the given American faith tradition. As you can see, the diabolical move was first to get God out of the schools, out of the courts. Look at this, saints. Both decisions ultimately changed the face of American civil society and in turn helped usher in the last half century of the culture wars. And so, what was behind Baal? We just saw what he did in Israel. To get God out of the schools, get God out of the courts, get God out of the culture, get God out of the family and society. Because if he can remove God, that leaves room for Ashtoreth to come in. And then ultimately, Moloch will show up. And so, 7 years after this ruling, just 7 years, the hippie generation exploded. And the second god, the enchantress, Ashtoreth, came back with a vengeance. And in 1969, the sexual immorality, drugs, and crime infiltrated our nation for the very first time. It only took 7 years. Baal removed God to bring in this transition from Ashtoreth. You remember these? Peace, love. I used to, peace, love, Bobby Sherman. I don't know if you remember him. Here's another. The love generation, the sexual explosion, the drugs. It only took 7 years from removing God to have this come in. My goodness. My goodness. Woodstock. Hundreds of thousands showed up on a farm in Midwest. I think it was Midwest somewhere. My goodness. So then, from that point on, from 1969, 53 years went by. So now, for 53 years, these entities have been gaining ground. Baal is called the possessor. And what has taken place today has affected every one of us in our life here. We have family, friends, acquaintances that have transitioned to the dark side. And this is why we need to pray against that entity, not them. They're being duped. They're deceived. Before we got saved, we were walking in deception. Can I get an amen? Amen. But God is exposing what's taking place today. Right. And you need to know what you're up against so that the church can stand. Mm-hmm. Paul said, stand in the evil day. Yes. We need to stand. Can I get an amen? And so 53 years later, that happened. Ashtoreth has perverted a generation. They're possessed. They're possessed by that entity. They don't even know her name, but they're worshiping her. I know it's quiet in here. But my goodness, this is not normal. No, sir. It's on our television. I went to Union Bank and all they had were these colors flying. Why? Because they're taking possession. Because God was removed in 1962. And so we have a generation that don't know God. They don't know God. If you're not bringing your children to Sunday school, they will never know God in the public school. Can I get an amen? This is why we have to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I know that this is not a good filled message, but it's truth. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And if we can't stand for truth, who are we standing with? Look at this. Before it was one day to acknowledge these characters. Now it's 30 days. You see, in the inscriptions, which I don't have time regarding Ashtoreth, but in the ancient inscriptions, she led parades through Israel. No different from this. And she adorned herself with the rainbow color garments. And they don't even know why they're doing this. They don't even know why. They're just doing it because they're possessed by her. Jesus, help us. They're taking possession. And if church cannot pull down those strongholds, I don't know what to say no more. Bishop, I remember we used to have all night prayer. You led all night prayer. We would start at 8 o'clock at night and wouldn't go home until 7 or 8 in the morning. And we didn't leave until there was breakthrough. Yes. Church is not praying no more. They're not fasting no more. Why? Because these gods have infiltrated. And now we feel like we're all alone now. Why? Because the culture is surely not with us. Matter of fact, we're the enemy to them. And what she did back then, she silenced their voices. She muzzled them. And that's why today we call it the woke generation. You speak against them and they want to muzzle you. It's that entity. It's that diabolical spirit. And they're possessed. They're angry. They're mad. And little do they know that these entities that they have allowed themselves to be possessed by ultimately will kill them. Because that's the end game, to destroy mankind. Look, they're everywhere. Look at that. They're everywhere. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Oh, God, help us. Look at that, saints. Wow. Wow. And so, my friends, she has opened the door for the most diabolical one. Moloch is here. Moloch is here now. He couldn't come in until the ground was cleared out from God, and then the nation has transformed into the image of Ashtoreth. Then he comes in to kill them. Are you receiving something from this, or am I just up here giving fairy tales? Hallelujah! Moloch is here now. See, they were passed through the fire, and that's what broke the straw with God. And then he had to send ultimate judgment to destroy their wickedness. And so, it opened the door for Moloch. And look what happened. From 62, removing God, then 69, the generation of love, drugs, and alcohol, and then 4 years later, they come in to kill your babies. Look at this. Roe v. Wade. 1973 was a landmark decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in which court ruled that Constitution of the United States conferred the right to have an abortion. Unheard of before 1962. These were things done in the dark. But can you see the progression? Can you see now what they're up to and who these entities are? The decision struck down many federal and state abortion laws and caused an ongoing abortion debate in the United States about whether or to what extent abortion should be legal, who should decide the legality of abortion, and that the role of the moral and religious views in the political sphere would be. Saints of God, the decision also shaped the debate concerning which methods the Supreme Court could use in a constitutional adjudication. In other words, they were scheming up ways to kill your babies. It was like a madman in a laboratory. Look at this, saints. Over 63 million abortions have occurred in the U.S. since Roe v. Wade, the decision in 1973. It started with Baal, then Ashtoreth, and now Moloch. Have the gods, those little g gods, have they appeared again? When you can drive God out of a society and raise up a generation that don't know God, it's open game for them. You see, friends, Fox News reported that 63 million abortions are estimated to have taken place in the U.S. since Supreme Court 1973 Roe v. Wade, ruling that granted federal protections to women seeking to terminate their pregnancies according to the analysis. Look at this. The National Right to Life Committee, the nation's oldest pro-life organization, estimates that 63,459,781 abortions have taken place since 1973. That estimate was gathered by tracking data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Guttmacher Institute, which previously served as a research arm of the nation's preeminent abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. So this is the house of Moloch. Why am I showing this? What our nation did recently, just in the past maybe 10, 15 years, they brought the gateway of Baal and they set it in New York City. And then during the elections, they moved it to the Capitol right there. And all these witches and warlocks were there. It's called the Ark of Baal. Research it. This is the real deal there. Look at this. That's New York City. They were there. They were playing music to it. They brought the Ark of Baal to our nation. Man. Are we in trouble? Listen. You and I are not in trouble with God. This nation is in trouble with God. The culture. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And God has elected us and chosen us before the foundation of the world that we would stand in these last and evil days. Can I get an amen? God wants us to stand. My goodness. So it ushered in. Look at that, right there. There's a whole group of Congress people at the gate of Baal that's in New York City right now. It's there. They don't even know what they're doing. They have no clue. They think it's a thing of art. Hallelujah. Jesus. And so, it ushered in him. Baal, Ashtoreth, ushered in Moloch, the destroyer. And there's the place of worship for Moloch. As Israel was passing them through the fire, these clinics here are killing the babies. Over 63 million now. My goodness. And look at this. Guess who's standing with them? We stand with what? Planned Parenthood. Who are they? The people that worship Ashtoreth, who has been possessed by them. They don't understand that the same God that they're worshiping is killing them. Huh? Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. But God wants us to know these things. Why? Because there's a battle now. And the battle's raging. Can I get amen? It's raging. And so, the Word of God forewarned us in the last days. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Look at this. But know this, that in the last days, the days we're talking about are today now. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Those parades that we saw, they're unholy. They're perverted. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. Look at this. Brutal, despisers of good. You can't even walk to a mall no more not knowing if you're going to get mugged. There's gangs throughout our land that they'll just smash the glasses, go in and steal everything. And if they get apprehended, they're let out the next day. What kind of world are we living in? What has happened? This, the last day, we're in the last days. Can I get amen? I know you probably came here to listen to the seven steps of prosperity. If we don't speak the truth and show what's taking place, we will be included with them. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at this. And I'm not knocking other fellows. Just pray for them that the truth will be preached in their church. Can I get an amen? But some of them have a form of godliness. They deny the power of God. In other words, they deny being baptized in the Holy Ghost with power. You can't run a church without the power of God. Hallelujah. You need to be born from above. Can I get amen? You need your soul changed and not possessed by Ashtoreth. Because they're lurking here. They're here now. Have those gods returned? Yes. They're right before us. And a lot of fellowships are like this. They can't even adjust. Their CPAC mask is slid off to the side. Look at this, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Saints, we need to reread what we just opened with right here. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to a dry place, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So once again, when the Puritans, the pilgrims came to the United States, the little gods were driven out until 1962. Look at this. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Wow. So saints, what's the remedy? Did you know that there's always a remedy with God? How many believe that there's always a remedy? No matter what the enemy puts forth before you, God is greater than the enemy. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says we are more than conquerors. Can I get amen? Amen. Bible says take on the full armor of God. You see, this is why I entitled this message, Arming the Saints to what? Stand. Stand in this last and evil day. My goodness, we need to stand. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he said it best in Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We need to stand, saints of God. We need to call out that abomination for what it is. They probably shut me down on YouTube and Facebook. I don't care. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They got these little scroll bugs that watch what you say. And then they pull the plug on you. Go ahead, pull it. Hallelujah. I'll just upload it again. Having girded your waist. Look at this. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth.
Yeah.
Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your shod feet prepared for the gospel of peace. You see, it was the gospel that drove out the entities. When Jesus came, died, and rose again, it was a gospel that shoot them out of those countries, that shoot them out of this country. Can I get amen? But as we read in Israel, they turn back to their wicked ways. We can't do that as a people. Can I get amen? We can't compromise with this culture. We got to stand. We got to stand. Look at this. And above all, taking on the shield of faith, which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And they've been firing, huh? Huh? They've been firing. Let me tell you, Satan is a relentless foe. He just wants you to keep your mouth shut. He'll try to disable you. I'm here to let you know God will enable you. Can I get amen? God will enable you. What he has started in you, he will complete. Can I get amen? Nothing formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn it in judgment. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Can I get amen? If God be for you, who could be against you? You have to remember who he is in your life. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bishop and lover of our souls. Come on. Jesus, hallelujah, will encamp his angels around us. Thank you, God. I don't care what the enemy, how he shows up. Hallelujah. God will destroy him through the word of God. All we got to do is speak the word. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We got to rise up as a people of God. Hallelujah. And this is not an insult to those who we know dearly, they're not walking. Pray. Pray. Don't condemn them. They don't know what they do. Jesus said on the cross, Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. We were all deceived at one time. And the moment we start doing this, there's three more pointing back at us. We got to use the strategy of God, and that's through prayer, fasting, pulling down strongholds. Can I get an amen? And every thought, pull it down, that would rise up against the name of Jesus. Pull it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I know this is not a popular message, but God didn't call us to be popular. Can I get amen? God called us to be saints of the Most High God, to walk in truth, walk in love. Hallelujah. Pray for those who would be saved. Pray for those who would be set free. Pray for those who would be delivered. Can I get an amen? Mankind is plagued by wickedness now, but we have the antidote. We have the answer. Hallelujah. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To preach truth. Preach the word of God. Hallelujah. And when you preach and teach and raise up a generation that knows God, nothing formed against us shall prosper. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I close with this scripture, because I know some of you want that tostada bar now. Right now. I've had too much tostada bars. Finally, my brethren, Paul said it best. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Who are they? Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech. Those are the principalities. God has revealed them maybe for the first time to you. But that's who's behind. That's behind the curtain. Those of you who you remember watching Wizard of Oz, who was that man behind the curtain? A little dog found him out. Rap was Oz. Well, you know what the Bible says? When Satan's cast into the lake of fire, people are going to say, he was the one that deceived the world. He's going to be but a little entity. See, he's a lion with no teeth. His bark is louder than his bite. Look at this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The age we're living in now. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My friends, I'm here to let you know that God is going to start manifesting miraculous things in the church that love him. We're going to see salvation like no other. We're going to see people getting set free. You know why? Because they're going to get a little taste of deception and say, God's going to wake them up and say, no, run back to the house of God. Run back to what your grandmother and your mother and father have been teaching you at one time. Why? Because there ain't nothing out there the devil has that's good for us. He will drive out God, he'll bring in Ashtoreth, and then ultimately he'll bring in Molech to destroy. But we have a greater God.
Yes.
We have a capital G God.
Yes.
And there's no one that sits next to him. Can I get an amen? Yes. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask the worship to come back up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Is he worthy to be praised?
Yes.
Praise God. Now I know why the last 4 days I had these terrible headaches and stomach aches and everything. I mean, Bishop brought it out clearly in his last message. It's a spiritual thing. And I can't wait when he comes back and brings the word. Pray for Sister Yolanda because we will be in Arkansas. But Bishop's going to bring it. Can I get an amen? And Bishop, we're thankful that you have come to spend your Sunday with us. But I'm speaking now to the people who maybe turned me off. I don't know. I don't even know if we're still on. Our machines are on, but did they turn us off? Who knows? But if you're still there on a stream, Facebook, YouTube, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is your moment. Cry out to God. Maybe you've been stuck in the culture. You've been shown some things that were not part of God. And I truly believe that God wants to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. I'm going to ask you to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And maybe you're here and never given your heart to Christ. Receive him by faith. Ask God to come in. And let me tell you, when he comes in, he will change you from the inside out. He will clothe you with his righteousness. He will set your feet on solid ground. And he'll put you on a new path. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Now, I need you to understand that this prayer is not mystical. It's not magical. It's a prayer that you come to Jesus by faith and believe that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Saints, the worship team is going to have another select.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.